Are you a Catholic woman who loves your faith, but finds certain aspects of living it out challenging and confusing? Are you a Catholic wife striving for a healthy, holy marriage and sex life, but don't know where to turn for straightforward, faithful, nitty-gritty answers to some of your deep and delicate questions? Are you a Catholic mom who's tired of the compare and despair game we all fall victim to on social media, and are just in need of some solidarity as you discover your own unique motherhood? Are you tired of the sunshine and rainbows pitch? Want to lean into the both and of the mess that happens when the truths of our faith get lived in a fallen world? Well, if that's where you find yourself, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Emily Frazee, your host of the Total Wine Podcast. I'm here to dig deep and tackle topics that we are all curious about, but maybe too afraid to ask. I'll answer it all with honesty and humor, because living the faithful life can make you either laugh or cry, and well, laughing burns more calories. Welcome to the show. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Total Wine Podcast. I feel like I say this every episode, but I really am excited to bring you today's conversation with my dear friend, Christina Valenzuela. Dear friend slash coworker slash colleague, even though we both have our own businesses, I feel like I'm so lucky to be in this space of fertility awareness and have so many women who I consider colleagues, and yet in probably other fields, we would probably be competitors, but we definitely are not that way in this space, which is super cool. So I'm going to start by giving you Christina's bio. Christina Valenzuela is the owner and creative director of Pearl and Thistle LLC, where she offers a unique blend of theology and science to bring better body literacy to Catholic families and parishes. She has been a certified instructor in the Boston Crosscheck Method of Natural Family Planning since 2013, and her signature course, Cycle Prep, was a 2021 OSV Innovation Challenge finalist. She holds an undergrad degree in philosophy and theology from the University of Notre Dame, as well as a master's in theological studies from Harvard Divinity School. She is a life-professed member of the lay fraternities of St. Dominic and resides with her husband and four children outside of Boston. Christina, the work that she does at Pearl and Thistle is just incredible. She really, her whole mission is just to create a holistic approach to body literacy that starts for pre-adolescent girls and goes all the way up through menopause. And she actually shares in this episode kind of this quote that ties it all together for her. And it was funny, in our conversation, she was like, I don't really feel like I'm doing anything cohesive. And yet when she was describing her mission, I was like, everything that you're doing just fits so perfectly into this bigger vision, even though it may not seem that way to her. We had so much fun in this conversation. It's just great to like hang out with a friend and talk about the thing that we are just geeky passionate about. And we're, of course, discussing her new book, Cycle Charting for Single Women. And it's an awesome book. I have a copy. We talk in depth in the book about the book in today's episode. But this is basically just kind of a manual for women who are single, who aren't really looking for something complicated, but they just kind of want an intro. They want to get a handle on their cycles. They want to get a handle on understanding, like, what is going on in my body. All this fertility awareness stuff sounds really cool, but I don't want to fork out a ton of money for, you know, a monitor and test sticks. Or maybe I do. Maybe that stuff is really cool. Maybe I think that's really interesting. Or maybe I just need something really simple. I just need something really low impact that I can just get started, because I think this is amazing and I want to figure out how I can work with my cycles. I want to be body literate. And this book is for you. And what's really beautiful about it is Christina just gives all the practical information you need to learn to chart. She teaches you about biomarkers. She teaches you how to use some of the hormone testing strips, not the Clear Blue Monitor, but other test strips. What does basal body temperature indicate? How do you track your mucus? How do you keep charting, you know, keep track of that? But then she also gives you the why. You know, why should we learn about our bodies? What actually is happening in my body during the menstrual and ovulatory cycles? Like, what is going on? Why is this important? Why is this important for me to know? And she just makes a beautiful case throughout the book. And then at the end, she, of course, talks about the heart. Because learning your body is a difficult thing. It's unlocking the key to who you are. And we are broken. We have things that go wrong. And part of cycle charting is discovering those things. But as our mutual friend Bridget has shared with me many times, God does not reveal what he does not also want to heal. And so this really becomes a way, and the way that Christina frames it and the way that both she and I see it is that this cycle charting becomes a way to communicate with our Creator and to learn the way that he has created us and to marvel and behold our bodies and the way he designed them with awe and reverence. And so, you know, now this would not be a Total Wine podcast if it was all heady, theological. We definitely throw in some jokes here and there. I mean, good Lord, it's me. And we start our conversation in a slightly unconventional way, although probably very conventional for me. And ladies, if you are single and you're dating a guy who you kind of want to get on board with this, I actually recommend that you at least let him listen to like the first several minutes of our conversation, because we have a hook, a surprising hook, that might make him very interested to continue listening to the conversation that we have. So I hope you enjoy this conversation. Check out the show notes. I am linking to where you can purchase the book after you hear all about it and you're just crazy for it and you want to learn more, you want to buy it. Or, you know, if you're married and you have single girlfriends and they're interested in these types of things, you can also buy them. I mean, Christmas is coming up around the corner. If you got friends' birthdays, which might be kind of weird, like happy birthday, here's how to chart your cycle. But, you know, maybe you're that type of friend, which is awesome. So check out the show notes for the link. And be sure to follow Christina if you're not already. She just does incredible work. And, you know, if you are a mom and you're listening, there is plenty in here for you to take, as well as you, if you're raising daughters and as you're raising sons. Christina actually shares on her platforms about how to talk to your sons about periods. So there's something here for everybody. There's something in Christina's work for everybody. So just give her a follow. Take a look at the book. Buy it if you're single. Buy it if you're married and give it to your single friends. And yeah, I hope you enjoy. We had a blast. I hope you will too. Now, before we jump in, I do have just a little bit of housekeeping and an apology. So I think I have figured out there are a couple of audio glitches in this episode. And I think I've figured out what is going on, because when I record here on my computer, everything turns out fine. But I've noticed that when I do interviews on Zoom, that's when these audio problems happen. Now, I was not able to fix it. It's not really something that I can cut out, because I cut out like the whole sentence. It's kind of awkward. But I do have a couple of other interviews coming up. And so I'm hoping to figure out a different platform that I can use to record so that these audio issues are not issues anymore. So thank you for your patience as I troubleshoot these things. And thank you for continuing to listen. I want to deliver something that is quality, that is worth your time, that, you know, is not something that you're like, ah, dang it, we got another, you know, audio problems. And hopefully I make up for it again with the way that Christina and I start this conversation. Hopefully you're just laughing so hard that you just don't even care. At least that's what I dream and what I hope. So enjoy. Hi, Christina. It's so good to see you.
Good evening.
Okay, so we started a conversation and then we realized that we should be recording. So then we pressed record. So let's start with what we are drinking.
Yes, I was so excited. I am so excited that you said, bring a drink, Christina. It'll be more fun. So I'm sporting a little tumbler with my Manhattan, but it's a bourbon Manhattan, Woodford Reserve. That's my...
Oh, Woodford Reserve.
Yes, ma'am. Okay,
all right. So this is like... This is probably gonna be the most controversial thing on here. Woodford Reserve is like good bourbon. And I feel like when you have really good bourbon, it should not be mixed.
That's an interesting, yes. But to be fair, we have experimented with other types of bourbon with the Manhattan.
Yes.
And the Manhattan's pretty simple. Like the vermouth is not overpowering, right?
Okay.
I would say if I want like a Godfather, right, which would be my bourbon with my amaretto, no way I'm going to put Woodford in that.
Oh,
not
that's
at all.
A God. I did not know what a Godfather was.
Yes,
But now
ma'am.
I'm like, okay.
So that one is a bullet bourbon drink, right? It's a little sharper. The amaretto holds up to that really well. So yes. Yeah, so I know it's kind of controversial, but to top it off, I also have my Woodford Reserve like bourbon cherry. So I think Woodford condones this.
I think they do. I think they should sponsor this episode. In fact, the last time I recorded with our friends, Bridget and Mary, I should have gotten sponsored by Guinness. So
I feel like this is a whole new channel that you should open up. Yes.
I think it is. I think I need to reach
the
out
the Total
to...
Wine podcast sponsored by Total Wine.
Yes, I know, which we, that's actually yeah. where, so what I'm drinking, which is where we were like, okay, we need to start recording. I'm drinking a beer and I don't know what kind of beer it is because we have a kegerator.
And that's where I said we need to record this because I'm about to ask, what is a kegerator? What
is that? A kegerator is literally, it's like a mini fridge that has no shelving units in it whatsoever, but it has special like whole, like appropriately placed holes so that you can actually put a keg in and then you can put a tap on top.
Oh.
So you can buy a keg and keep it in the fridge so your beer mm-hmm. stays cold, but you also have to hook up CO2 to it. So it's
right.
not just like, you know, a hole in the top for the tap, but you also have to have another one through the side. So we actually have a kegerator in our laundry room. Because we have a countertop in the laundry room, and for those wondering, no, we're not alcoholics. We are environmentally friendly. There are no cans, there are no bottles, and it truly is recycling because when we're done with the keg, we bring mm-hmm. it back to the store and they use mm-hmm. it again.
I love that. We used to go to a local place and get growlers all the time.
Yeah,
there was a local brewery,
that's child's play.
I do love that. I know. Yeah, this is like 3 steps up from that. Cheers to that.
It is, yeah, no, my husband had one before we got married when he was living. Actually, for those of you who have listened and you listened to the episode with Father Andrew Clark, Father Andrew Clark was one of the guys that lived in the house with the kegerator. And so after we moved into our new home, not an apartment, we got so sick of bottles and cans and we were mm-hmm. like, we're just getting a kegerator. Mm-hmm. And it's great. It's wonderful because like if we're throwing a party, like we'll do a crawfish boil, his birthday, we do like a big Packer game and he'll get like a couple of quarter barrels that can both fit in the fridge. So we can literally have 2 beers on tap.
I love it.
Super fun. Yes.
It is fun.
And it can last because it's hooked up to CO2. It can last for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it goes bad like mm-hmm. it would in a growler or if you
right.
just had like a regular keg that you tapped with like a party tap. Yes, I know so many things and I know that there's a higher percentage of men that listen to my podcast than are on my Instagram. So hi guys, I just became my biggest fans now. You're going to go all talk to your wives. You're like, honey, I'm so glad you introduced me to this podcast. Can we get a kegerator? Emily has one.
That's right.
This is happening. I'm starting a new, this is the social media influencing that we need.
Yes. Yeah. We need to be able to talk about all of these fine things, these good mm-hmm. things that God has given us.
Yes.
Right. And that includes beer and Woodford yes. Reserve.
Yes. I want to get you on scotch now because I love the way that you're talking about your bourbon. I'm like, I want to talk to you about scotch. But,
yeah.
you know, you pick,
we'll have
you
to
pick
have that
your
be
poison.
Another cap. Yeah.
That'll be the intro to the next conversation. So let's add what we're actually talking about tonight. As much fun as it would be to just have a conversation for an hour about booze, which I have done before with a total stranger. Mm-hmm. We are here to talk about your new book.
Yeah,
which
I'm
super excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Cycle charting for single women.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to like frame this because I so admire and so love your work because you really do have a very cohesive vision that you're casting that all of the pieces that you're creating fit into very nicely. And you're chuckling. Yes, it's all true.
You're so sweet. No, I'm chuckling because it feels very kind of scatterbrained to me sometimes. Like as somebody who's managing my social media or trying to do marketing, I'm like, okay, I speak to so many different people, but it's about one thing.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah. Which is, yeah. which is kind of the beauty of it. Like, this is when I was in architecture school, my professors would say, like, a simple idea is something that is narrow, but very deep. And I think that's what you've done, is like, you have like this narrow idea, but you're going very deep with it down a lot of different paths, but it still comes back to this one idea. So talk about that.
Yeah. Well, so I'm just going to start with JP2 because I feel like he is the foundation of everything. There is one quote that I think sums up all of theology of the body. He says, "The human body speaks a language of which it is not the author." And this for him is the foundation of the entire sacramental worldview that Catholics have, but it's also the foundation of understanding how our bodies actually reveal us as human persons. And so the idea that I play with my business, Pearl and Thistle, is this idea that body literacy, learning to read the language of our bodies, specifically through menstrual cycles and charting and NFP, is actually a path towards self-knowledge and ultimately holiness. So that's the thread that is kind of going through all of the work that I do. And it plays out in very tangible ways by actually bringing education to girls and women and couples at various ages and stages in their body literacy journeys.
Yeah. I love it. So it is like, when you have something that is so, again, it's very simple, but it's so rich in like in the application. I got your email today or yesterday, your newsletter, and you had kind of an interesting story because not everybody is exactly on board. Like, what you just described is beautiful and incredible. And I know everybody is listening is like, yeah, give me some of that in spades, but you don't always get those types of reactions.
No, so, I don't. Yeah, you want me to share that story?
Yes, yeah. Please. Because when I saw that, I was like, excuse me. I mean, it's not the first time I've heard this before, but it's just like, okay, we still have work to do. So yes.
Yeah. It just boils down to, you know, we at every age, the church always has work to do. And I think this is one of the areas that we really need to work on. I was at a women's conference for the very first time. I was like, I'm going to get my act together and I'm going to like actually be at a women's conference as a vendor.
And your last table looked weekend. Awesome, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I was very impressed. So well done.
Thank you. Yeah. I packed up my eldest daughter. She came with me. It was so sweet. And that's like a whole other thing. But it was interesting because I would definitely say I kind of misjudged maybe the demographic. Like a lot of my programming, because it talks about cycles and it talks about fertility for couples and things, like once you are past a certain age, shall we say, this sort of becomes something that's just background noise to you that you don't really think about because it doesn't apply to you. So I think the demographic skewed a little bit beyond maybe my target audience age.
Shall we say postmenopausal?
Yeah, we shall say that. Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, we'll just say it. We don't need to tiptoe around that. Yeah, definitely postmenopausal women. But then also women who were very blunt and kind of walking by the table and just looking at things and being like, I'm so glad I don't have to worry about that anymore. And they just like saunter off.
I feel like that's like your prerogative when you're postmenopausal. Like you don't have a filter anymore.
It's true. That is actually true. Yeah, that's one of my favorite things. Laura Bryden talks about that in her book about menopause. She talks about the freedom of like getting rid of the filter. And I get it. It can be a gift. But there were also just some interesting questions. Like there were some people who genuinely came up and they were like, why are you teaching NFP to 9-year-olds? And at that point, I'm like, well, it's not NFP because natural family planning is a tool, right? It's an application for a certain set of knowledge, but you know, the knowledge that like we have menstrual cycles and they have different phases and ovulation is important, right? That can be taught to 9-year-olds. Right. And so I think it was also just, there was a lot of conversations that needed to happen around how is this different? How is body literacy fundamentally different, even though it's connected to natural family planning? How do we separate this kind of this model that we've baked in to like puberty equals period talks and sex ed? Like, I don't know how we've come to have that be just like a staple of the American educational diet, but like people have a really hard time separating out the fact that like we can teach girls about their cycles without teaching them about condoms.
Like, yeah.
These are so I think that there's
they
a
can
bit
be
of
mutually exclusive.
yes, exactly. And so it was an interesting opportunity to just talk to a lot of people. So I hope that there were a lot of seeds that were planted, but it was a little bit of a frustrating experience feeling like this was not necessarily something that a lot of people were like, oh yes, absolutely, this makes sense. It took a lot of work to kind of get people there. And then I had some grandmas who were like, oh, well, maybe my 10-year-old granddaughter would be interested in this. And I'm like, yes, that sounds great, Grandma.
That's
like,
precisely it. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe you don't need it for yourself, but like other women in your family, the girls in your family might benefit. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a difficult position to be in when you're just like, this, like, I hold the key. I hold the key. Can you just listen to what's happening? I mean, oh my gosh. Yes. The, like the shakeup that you want to do. And my thing is like, I want to tell these grandmas, I'm like, well, do you have like a problem with birth control? Well, yeah. Okay. Well, your 9-year-old granddaughter, if she has any sort of cycle issues and she goes to the OBGYN, guess what the solution is she's going to be given.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, like that's her only, but this is another option.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, oh, it drives me crazy when people are just, as we know, we could do a whole podcast episode just on the frustration of like, why don't people get it anyway?
Mm-hmm.
And the butting up against things that we often run into in the church herself. But that's another podcast. We're talking about your book, which is awesome. So everything that you have in this book is fitting within this mission and is basically taking that quote you had from JP2, which I've already forgotten, but my listeners won't. And you put it into this book, Cycle Charting for Single Women, The Catholic Woman's Guide to Charting Your Menstrual Cycle for Health and Wholeness. So this is, we had a conversation about this the other night and I asked you, does this teach women to chart? And you said, yes, but it's not a tool for family planning. So this teaches you to understand your cycle, to understand your biomarkers. So if you are a single woman, this is something that's like really real. Sometimes, you know, learning a whole fertility awareness method is just like way too intensive.
Yes.
It's too time consuming. It's too much money. It's like, I don't need a clear blue monitor and test sticks every day, but I would like to understand my health because I'm noticing something going on with my period. Maybe I'm having heavy bleeding or like I'm really moody. I'm having PMS and I'm tired of my OBGYN beating me up the side of the head with birth control because I tried that and I felt terrible. So what can I do and where do I start? And that's where this book comes in.
Yeah, it is. It's a very, I mean, it's a short little book. It's like 95 pages total. But we pack a lot into it. We pack a lot into it. Yeah. So it basically makes the case for exactly what you were talking about, that, you know, women's health can do better. That a lot of us are kind of just told to cover up our cycles and to not think about it until we're interested in trying to start a family. That's what a lot of doctors will say. And to a certain extent, like, the church has also kind of said the same thing to single women, right? And not that I think that reserving natural family planning courses for engaged couples is a bad thing. I think that it's a very good thing that the church serves engaged couples that way. But what we haven't done is we haven't caught up to the medical science, which understands cycles as a vital sign for health, right? So I think that the Catholic Church has been a really good keeper of these systems of knowledge, has been a very good steward of research that many secular institutions would have just left by the wayside in the 1960s and 70s if they had had their way, right? But the Catholic Church had to dig in and say, nope, we've got to do the research, we've got to make this work, right? And I think that's a beautiful thing. But I also think at this point in time, there's a whole new avenue to that knowledge that we need to open up, right? Mm-hmm. It's now the church's responsibility to say, okay, I've been keeping this knowledge for a while, but now we also know that this is really, really valuable for single women as well, right? In itself, a woman's body functions best when it is under the influence of these hormones. And so how do we then open up that treasure trove that we've been safeguarding to this whole other demographic who deserves this information as well?
Yes, I love the way that you put that we need to catch up to the medical science. Because most of the time when I think about it, I'm like, oh, medical science is so behind, but it's not. It's not. It's just that what we're encountering in the OBGYN's office is still very much behind.
The practice is behind. Yeah.
The practice is behind, but the actual science, no, it's very much there. And that is what is just becoming so appealing to women. Like, there is this cry for, you know, this is, it kind of ties into, I hope it doesn't become like a fad thing, but it does tie into kind of this, as I think Pope Francis has called it, like a cult of wellness, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, so, I mean, obviously, like, this can go like a little off the deep end, but this basic understanding, like you said from the beginning, that this is learning the language of our bodies that God wrote, and that this is not just about health, but this is about holiness, and that is something that should be accessible to everyone. That is a very Catholic principle, that this is not something that is only for engaged couples who are trying to have children or to postpone children or whatever. This is like, no, this is the way you were made.
Yeah.
And learning that is a beautiful gift.
Yeah. And I love what you said about the cult of wellness, because it makes me think about the difference between an idol and an image, right? Mm-hmm. That the cult of wellness is all about making an idol out of the body.
Yes.
Right. Making an idol out of wellness for its own sake. But what I am trying to propose, and what I think the church's position is, that what we should be doing is using this knowledge as a way to better understand our image and to reverence the image of God in us, not to worship it as an idol, but to reverence the image of God that lives within us and is uniquely expressed in our femininity, which, you know, is its own necessary message for the world today.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that this can be a very beautiful message of hope to single women, because I know the dating sphere right now is, you know, that you've seen that tweet that says, do you married couples feel like you caught the last chopper out of Nam? And it's like, yes, actually, yes, we do.
Yeah,
yes.
I do.
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. I'm sorry for where you are. So I feel like this is something that can, that can also give, like, give dignity to single women, like, in their, you know, when they're in this place of like, no, you are still beautiful and worthy as you are to learn this language as well. This is not something that is only for married couples. This is for you because you're a woman and you have cycles, and this is important to learn. So Christina, I want you to tell me, who is the woman, describe the woman that you wrote this book for, because I loved your description when you shared it with me the other night, and I want other people to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, so the kind of like the marketing answer, right? This is for a Catholic woman who, you know, has wondered if there's a better option for her to help manage her cycle problems. This is for the Catholic woman who has wondered if there's a way that she can better appreciate her body. Maybe she struggles with body image. Maybe she struggles with this aspect of her femininity. This book is going to try and bring wholeness and healing to a very, very wounded part of women's lives in general. But really, when I was writing the book, I sat down and I thought to myself, like, what did I need to hear as a 20-year-old woman, right? When I first heard about NFP, it was like this light bulb went off and just like illuminated all sorts of dark corners of my life. And so I really wrote this book for someone who's Catholic, right? Who's grounded in her faith, but is searching for a meaningful way to integrate that intellectually into her life, and also just very physically, right? Somebody who really wants something tangible to walk away and say, this makes a difference in my life as a Catholic woman. For me to have this knowledge, for me to be able to implement this in my life. So it really was born out of a lot of wounds that I had to sort through in college. And then even as I learned natural family planning as an engaged woman, that was a very startling experience to me. It did not come easily to integrate this knowledge into my life as an engaged woman. And I see that play out so many times for a lot of the clients that I work with. I've been an NFP instructor for over a decade now. I should probably let people know that. And
I'm recording an intro at the beginning, so I will make sure to mention that. So
yeah,
yes,
so I've worked with so many couples, and I see it. You know, there are some women who it's totally natural for them and it makes sense, but like I see in some women that exact growing pain that I went through, this realization that like my body's been doing this the whole time and I never knew that. And that's very, very disorienting to me.
Yes.
And so I wanted this to be a text to orient women into their bodies, right? Before they need to think about how my body makes sense in conjunction with somebody else's body.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh. I know we could go 10 rounds on like why it is so important to introduce this early. I know one of our colleagues, Dr. Marguerite Duane, has proposed doing psychoeducation in conjunction with confirmation classes, which I just think is
yes, I've
the
heard
coolest
that.
idea. I'm like, I don't ever see that happening, but that is a great idea. But your book is beautiful. Again, the title is Cycle Charting for Single Women, The Catholic Woman's Guide to Charting Your Menstrual Cycle for Health and Wholeness. And of course, you can find that link in the show notes to purchase. But you did such a beautiful job. I love, you know, I talked about like, well, not talked about here, but talked about elsewhere, your graphics where like my favorite page is page 33, where you talk about like the relative lengths of follicular and luteal phases, because a lot of single women will do period tracking,
right,
where they're just looking yes. at their period and they're like, oh, I have a 28 or 30 day cycle, I'm fine. But you break it down in this image on page 33,
mm-hmm.
where you show like, okay, if you have a 28 day cycle, sure, you could ovulate on day 14, but maybe you ovulate on day 12 or day 20, or you don't ovulate at all and you actually have an anovulatory cycle. And mm-hmm. if you're not tracking ovulation, you mm-hmm. don't know that.
Yeah. Can I tell a story related to that graphic?
Please. Yes, please.
Yeah. So I gave a talk a couple of years ago at Ave Maria University, down in the town by the same name in Florida. And I gave this talk to, I think there were probably like 60 college age women there. And it was beautiful. It was called Body Literacy for Single Women. And I talked about this concept of like, if you're just tracking periods, you actually don't know if you're having periods necessarily, because not all bleeds are periods. And you could, you know, the shock on a lot of young women's faces, yes. they're like, wait, what? Uh-huh. And so in the Q&A, there was one young woman, and I can still see her face and I don't know her name, but there was one young woman who just asked me, she's like, so how will I learn to chart my cycles to know if I'm having periods? And I was like, well, you know, you can always take a natural family planning class. I know of this person who's associated with the university who could probably help you and all of this. And or you could purchase this book or this, that, or the other. And she looked so lost. And she was like, but I don't have the money for an instructor. I don't have. So she started voicing all of these things. And she's like, how do I learn this? Like, just for me as a single woman without going through all of the fertility calculations. And I didn't have an answer for her.
Mm.
Right. I was like,
the worst.
yeah. Right. Like she didn't feel like she could invest in working one-on-one with a coach, but for some reason, this like really, really hit her as a very important thing that she needed to do. And I carry her like, girl, if you are listening to Emily's podcast, I don't know who you are, but like, I carry you in my heart. And I think about that because that was the moment where I was like, oh, there's nothing there. Right.
Yeah.
And so when I think about also like, who is this for? I'm like, it was for that girl in the fifth row on the left-hand side with the long blonde hair. Like, I don't know who you are, but it's,
but if you
too,
are in that
right?
room, or if you are her and you listen to my podcast, you remember that exchange, reach out to Christina.
Yeah.
And
send
tell
me an
her.
Email. I'll send you a free book.
Yes. No. And that just reminded me something you said before that I wanted to touch on. I just think is so beautiful that you said that this came from your wounds. And I think that that's something that is so underrated, that we are so, we're so afraid of our wounds. We're so ashamed of our wounds, but so often that is where our greatest glory comes out.
Mm-hmm. Like that, and this is your space too, Emily, right? Like this
oh,
is,
I know.
Yeah.
I'm speaking from experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This, the reason why I can say this is because samesies. And I, you know, I've told Bridget this too, but so all of us working in this space, it's all come out of our own woundedness. And as we've healed and we've all wanted to become the person we wish we had. And I, you know, it's just really incredible to see the work that is happening now, that it's like, I've had some women who were postmenopausal say, where were you when I was your age? I was like, I was still in utero. Sorry. Right. Sorry, I wasn't here yet. No, but I love the whole structured the allegory of the kingdom, I think, is so great. And I know that you developed that for your cycle prep class. And yeah. I was excited and delighted to see it here because I know you had developed that for young girls.
Yeah.
But you have the adult single woman version here, which I think is just, it's such mm-hmm. a great way to frame this in the way that you're wanting it to be received. I thought that was just perfect. Mm-hmm. But you go through in your book, can you talk about just kind of the structure of it a little bit? Just kind of take us through for people listening to know kind of what to expect.
Yeah. And I'm going to actually cheat by opening up my table of contents because I'm like, I don't remember what order I wrote these in.
You don't have it memorized?
No.
Oh my gosh. You have a human brain. How dare you?
Yeah. So the first, so it's five chapters and then it's kind of additional resources. So the chapters start off just with an introduction to what is charting. It gives you a review of the menstrual cycle and that's where you find the story of the kingdom. And I actually put that in there. I originally did not have that. So the story of the kingdom is something that I developed for my cycle prep program for girls like ages 9 to 11, right? It's just a way, it's like a mnemonic device to help them understand the relationship between the different hormones and what happens in the uterus and why the egg is so important. And I originally didn't have that in the book. And I showed it to a religious sister and asked her to preview the book. And she was like, you know what's missing, Christina? Just a basic, like, understanding of what happens. She's like, I'm just having a hard time conceptualizing all these different hormones. I'm having a hard time conceptualizing like how they interact and why the egg is so important. And I was like, all right, sister, this is going to go in for you. So I put it in and she was like, yes, perfect.
It is perfect. It's such a great way to frame it. And it's such a positive way to frame it, you know, when we think about our periods and all this, it's just like, oh, it's woman's curse, right? And it's like, right. no, when you frame it this way, it's like, no, all of these, first of all, the menstrual cycle, the menstruation is not even the main event of the menstrual cycle.
Amen.
But this is like, this explains it in a way that it's like, no, all of these parts, even the unpleasant ones, have a purpose.
Yeah.
And a very specific design, and it is good.
And they're all connected so that by the time you actually see that period bleed, you can appreciate all of this invisible hard work that your body has done the whole time. So, and I know there's other programs like the cycle show is also very good. The Guiding Star Centers have a cycle show that does the same thing, right? Just really helps girls understand like everything that is happening kind of behind the scenes, right?
Yes.
So that when you do see the period, you understand. So that's where it starts, like introduction to charting. What is charting? What's the menstrual cycle, right? And then I go into actually like, how do you actually keep a chart? Like, what are the different biomarkers that you would observe? What sorts of information do you put on a chart? And then I think maybe one of my favorite sections is like, what can charting tell me? Like making a case for like, what information am I as a single woman actually getting out of keeping my chart, right? Mm-hmm. And then I do interpreting, right? So how do you find ovulation? That's what we're looking for in this book. So we're not calculating a fertile window like a natural family planning method would. We're basically saying like, let's look for ovulation as a healthy sign so that we can know how long our follicular and our luteal phase are. We can identify if we're having those period bleeds, right? So we do that. I have practice charts. And then the final section is, how do I integrate this into my life, right? And so it touches on things like, you know, the transition period as you learn how to chart and you learn this information about your body, talking to other people about it. How do you talk to a doctor if you end up having questions? That was a really important part to put in. And so, as I said, the book is really compact, but we try to catch a lot of really key questions that single women have and really try to distill it down so that I feel like a lot of the fundamental information is there. Mm-hmm. And then just as a teaser, this book, I see as like a companion book to a book that I'm coming out with OSV next year.
Which I can't wait for.
Yeah. So, I'm allowed to announce the title. The title of the OSV book is called The Language of Your Body, Embracing God's Design for Your Cycle. So that is like the big picture thing. That book is not going to teach charting, but this one is kind of the companion book for single women to teach them how to chart.
It's like the practical application of the more heady theological intellectual things that you're laying out there.
I plant the seeds of those heady intellectual things in this book, so it has discussion questions too. So if you like have a small group and you would want to get together and like talk about this with a bunch of women who want to learn how to chart too, there's discussion questions, there's reflections. But yeah, I see this as kind of like the practical application of something that is a bigger vision that I think we can start talking about in the church. And I shouldn't say start talking about. We've been talking about it in the church. It's just fun to finally get a little bit more mainstream with it. Yes. You know?
This is where I do get like a little bit feminist about it, because I'm like, it's just a bunch of women talking. And so apparently we don't care. Anyway, moving on. I love, so kind of going back, if you're curious kind of what Christina is talking about with like common issues to spot on the chart, like I just opened up the book to this. So for example, she talks about, she has like charts where on one side it says what you observe and then what it might be telling you. Mm-hmm. She has delayed temperature shift, unsustained temperature shift, erratic temperature patterns, no LH surge, frequent LH surges. She also explains what LH is, by the way,
yes.
which we're not going to get into because you need the book. But I love, you know, you have a section here at the back that says letting go of perfect, because this is where I think the birth control mentality really comes into play. Not the birth control mentality.
Say more about that. Say more.
The birth control mentality that like crazy Catholics are like, NFP is contraception. It's like, okay, please take a long walk off a short cliff. It's been a long day. That was not the beer that messed me up. Anyway, just want to be clear. Okay. This is the birth control mentality that I think is that we think that if our cycles are not 28 days and we don't ovulate on day 14, something is wrong with us. This is like, we're so antagonistic to our cycles because of the prevalence of birth control.
Yes.
And so when we start charting and we hit that learning curve, which is steep, and we're like, oh, this is hard. And this, it's because we do not live in a culture. We do not live in a world that supports body literacy.
Yeah.
So of course, if you learn your body, you're not going, it is difficult because you are going against the grain and you're not going to have an instant support system. You're going to have to explain, like you were doing even with postmenopausal women at a Catholic women's conference. Okay. Like this is how entrenched it is that like, this is just not something that we talk about, that this is hidden, that this is, it should be, you know, just regulated and really, you know, like when we expect women to be chemically sterilized, that is the default setting for women. As soon as your cycles start, we chemically sterilize you. This is what we do. And so if you're going to dare to not do that, but to actually let yourself cycle and to experience the ebb and flow of, no pun intended, or pun intended, actually.
Yeah, go for it.
Pun very much intended of, you know, what it means to not feel like your best self when you're in menstruation, but to feel like super creative and energetic in your follicular phase. Like God designed us this way for a reason. This is the language of the body that is, that gives us a window into that image of who we are. So it's not about being perfect, and it's not about putting ourselves against this unreasonable standard. I think, what is it? Like 10 to 14% of women have a 28 day cycle.
Oh yeah.
And it's stupid low. And yet we're like, this is what all women should be. Why? How did we get there? What is this? Makes no sense.
I had a client one time, and God bless her. She came to me and she was like, my cycles are just so irregular. And we started working together, and you know, she had cycles varying between 26 and 32 days. And for her, that was irregular. And I was like, oh, honey, no. I was like, you have a consistent luteal phase every single time. Like, look at this. We can identify ovulation. Your ovulation is just bumping forward and backward a couple of days each time. And it's beautiful. Like, your body is doing something beautiful here. And she thought that she was broken. And I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
You know, there's and there's a lot of women who think that because because we've been told, we've been educated, right? We've been educated to believe that like our bodies are kind of like, that our bodies are like machines, right? Yes. And that it's a 28-day cycle with ovulation right in the middle.
Right.
And that sort of view of the body as a machine rather than a living organism,
right?
It really makes us then feel like, because machines break.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Organisms get sick or they die, but they don't break.
Right.
And so when we say, I'm broken. Exactly. Oh, yes. Yeah. I love that.
They adapt.
Yeah. So when I say I'm broken, that means that I have a view of my body that it's a machine, that it should be operating in a certain like cog system. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But exactly what you say about adaptation, right? That our bodies, I tell clients all the time, our bodies are so smart that if we get sick, if we get stressed, our body knows that this is not a great time for us to ovulate and conceive. And so our body, in its wisdom, will hold off on ovulation for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
And this is like a revelation that like this is a feature, not a bug in the system. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's great. I was literally, I just did a video today about low libido. And this was basically my whole point, that we are not machines, that if something is quote unquote wrong with our cycle, that is our cycle, our body's working precisely as they were designed to alert us to a problem that we need to be curious about.
Yes. Yeah. That's, and that's what's the language. Happening. That is the language.
Yes.
That is how your body speaks.
There's an alarm system. When you have heavy periods, when you have painful periods, when you have like dramatically irregular periods, like I'll get personal because that's what I do. I have been having like severe pain during ovulation that is generalized. It's not localized on one side or the other, but I'm not really having any pain with menstruation. So like, what the heck's going on? And, you know, we're suspecting all sorts of things, potentially high estrogen, potentially endometriosis, but it's like my body is saying something's not right. I don't know what it is, but this is my cue to tune in and to try to like troubleshoot some things. And this is where it gets tricky. And this is where it gets probably the most frustrating, is the troubleshooting process to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Because we do not have a medical system that supports women who want to learn their bodies. So getting accurate medical testing, you know, like this is really like, we almost need like a war manual for women, not to turn everything into a war because it drives me crazy, but we kind of need like a war manual for women to like, all right, when you go into the OBGYN's office and you're like, I know my body, I know something's not right, I need this testing. And they're like, yeah, you're crazy, here's some birth control, bye. Like, what do we do in that situation? How do we advocate for ourselves? Because that is such a vulnerable space. And I know women are terrified of going in that space. And advocating for themselves with the knowledge that they have. Like, if a doctor is going to give you birth control because you have heavy, painful periods, you know more than that doctor. And it's just an awkward position for women to be in. So that kind of brings me to the final question that I wanted to ask about the book, which is, how do you envision this being used? Is this something to be used by individual women? Could you see this being used in groups? Because I know like one of the themes that we're kind of touching on indirectly is the need for solidarity, that need for community support, because this is countercultural, that this thing that we're talking about.
Yeah. And I love this question because I think what it shows is that anytime you bring something into the world, right, whether it's a baby or whether it's a book, right, when it's in the world, it's a little bit out of your control. And that's a good thing, because it's not limited by your vision of what it should be. And so when I created this book, I was like, this is a book for women to do on their own. Like, I am very much a self-starter. I tried to self-teach myself NFP when I first got married, and that didn't work long-term.
Oh, well, that's why you you're like, I struggled so hard because you were self-taught.
I know.
Lead with that.
And yet, you know, I had a roommate at the time who was also engaged, and we were charting at the same time. And there, I at least had one other person in my life where I could like talk to her about this sort of thing. And we would sit in her bedroom floor, I remember, and like compare our charts. She was doing a little bit of a different system than I was doing. So in my mind, I was like, you know, this is a resource that, you know, those women who want to self-teach, like they're going to pick it up and they're going to be good to go. And what I have realized from talking with other women about this is that, you know, this is also a great opportunity for women to come together in community and to support one another. And so, great. If you are somebody who just really wants to pick this up and do it on your own, it's built for that. But I something in me told me to put discussion questions at the end of each of the sections. And I think that that's going to serve the book well to be adapted to a group setting. I would think that this could be used by, you know, if you have a group of friends, you're like, let's just sit down and discover this together. We're going to read some of these chapters out loud.
That would be the best book club ever.
I would love if it was a book club. If you do this, please email me. I would love to hear your story of it. This could be a women's book club. This could be like a small group through a campus ministry or a Newman Center in college, right? So I would think also that there's a lot of opportunity for women to just come together and to talk about these things, mm-hmm. because some women don't necessarily want to talk about them at first. And yes. I think that's okay. Mm-hmm. But some women really, really do. And this could be an opportunity. So if you are somebody who's been sitting there feeling like, I just even want to like learn how to talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
This could be a great opportunity to open up those conversations. It's basically something that gives you permission to talk about really hard stuff that we don't get an opportunity to talk about a lot. Yeah. So even if you don't learn how to chart from the book, even if you just sit and talk about some of the ideas, it can be a great way to just practice, you know, opening up this area in women's lives that we so seldom have the permission to explicitly yes. talk about.
Yeah. And I, you know, you and I are pretty, I want to use the word grizzled.
yes.
This is our bread and butter. We'll talk about cervical mucus and like, you know, like it's just, we don't even bat an eye. Like I said penis so many times in the video I recorded this morning for this project that I'm doing. And it didn't faze me. I'm like, whatever. I'm so beyond all of this at this point. But there's still a lot of people, I forget.
Yeah.
There's a lot of squeamish people.
Yeah.
And I don't say that in a negative sense, but like you said, these are not conversations that people normally have. These are taboo topics.
Yeah.
And it's beyond past time for them to not be taboo topics, because women are, I want to be careful with saying this because I know this is just kind of thrown around a lot, but I think women are being harmed because we're not talking about these topics. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't know, I think the greatest harm that I see is that women are not making fully informed choices. Mm-hmm. They go into their doctor's office, they are given birth control. They say, this is going to regulate your cycle. This is going to heal your hormones. And it does none of those things. They're not only not given fully informed choice, they're lied to. And probably because the doctors don't know any better, you know, right. And it's just, this is doing, you know, like our friend Mary, she talks about her story, how she didn't have endometriosis diagnosed for 12 years. This is such a common story. Mm-hmm. That women are enduring so much pain, and that if we can make these conversations normal. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, you know, don't turn into like those weirdos who are standing on the corners with like, you know, a bullhorn just shouting it, but among, right? Yes. Like respecting context and time and place, have these conversations. They're not easy ones, but, I mean, I know you can attest to this too, Christina, but we have just made incredible friendships and incredible bonds through opening up about these types of things. Mm-hmm. It's scary, but vulnerability is like the key to developing deep, good friendships. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, like within certain contexts, don't just like, you know, be an open book to absolutely everybody. Have some discernment, have some prudence, but let's start opening this up. It's okay. Like your girls, like be like, hey, I think I have an infection like once a month, but, and then it goes away. And then I'm like, oh, my period's here. It's like, no, that's good cervical mucus. That's your body functioning properly. And if we can just normalize these things, mm-hmm. you know, again, and like you were talking about with the women that you see that are just like, why didn't I know about this sooner? I think that is probably the most common thing that we hear when women find out about this. Why? It's not, oh, ew, gross. It's, why didn't I know this sooner? Mm-hmm. Why did nobody tell me this?
Yeah. And to take it even one step further to an area that I have not really tapped in my business. So this is like an open invitation to anybody who's listening to this podcast who feels so moved. Like my absolute favorite part of NFP instruction is when I am explaining the way that the menstrual cycle works to this couple who's like an engaged couple, right? And she's sitting there going, why did nobody ever tell me this? And he, right, mm-hmm. is sitting there going, whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are way more complicated than mm-hmm. I understood. And it like in a good way. Like yes. He is just absorbing. He's like, I never knew that you went through this. I never understood this about you. So I you can see it when it clicks for him mm-hmm. as well, that like yeah. there is this deep reverence.
Yeah.
And maybe the opportunity, the right time for that to come out is when they're engaged and they're learning about this together. I don't know. But like, I also think that men perhaps in the dating scene, to like bring it full circle to our conversation about dating, right? Like maybe men would have a little more reverence for women in mm-hmm. in the dating field if they understood.
Yes.
What well, she's going things, through.
Yeah, this is one of the things, like just practically speaking for single women charting, like, listen, don't plan any like nighttime dates when you're ovulating. Okay. it's not wise. All right.
That's it's hard.
When your body yeah. is like primed to make a baby. It's not going to make chastity any, but this is like the valuable information that you can use, like that you can apply it to. It's like, why was I just like about to jump his bones the other night?
And or like the dude that you met in the nightclub when you were
right?
ovulating.
Why was I like,
2 days later, you're like, oh my gosh.
So true. What was I thinking? Yes. Like what was happening there? And then you're like, oh, there it is. Yeah, mm-hmm. that makes sense now. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's this self-attunement that can actually foster a deeper practice of the virtues.
Yes.
That's mm-hmm. like, and that's, yeah, that's what you're all about. Is there, to wrap this up?
Yeah.
Is there any parting thoughts that you want to leave?
Oh, parting thoughts. I love that question, but I also am terrified by that question because it makes me think.
It's so open-ended. It's not it's as so good open-ended. As what Mary and I do to close the fan base podcast where we're like, you know, give us your fertility awareness pitch. I'm like, nah, we're just generalizing.
Yeah.
This. Any parting thoughts?
Parting thoughts.
Was that I enough would, stalling?
Yeah, I'm going to stall a little bit. I would say my parting thought as I kind of flip through the book to get an idea of what I would want to say is that if you are somebody who has questions, I want you to know that our Catholic faith is here for the questions. This is something that I didn't understand as a young woman, and this is something that I have really come to love about our faith over the years, is that questions in and of themselves are not bad things at all. Questions are actually the sign of us using our rational intellect to pursue the good that is God, that is truth. And so especially when it comes to these confusing topics of the body and sexuality and what does it mean to be a woman? Your honest questions are desired by God. Your honest questions are God's way of leading you to truth. And what I am desperately hoping is that this book is a way to answer some questions, or to at least point some young single women in the right direction of understanding, like, what is a woman? What does it mean for women uniquely to be made in the image of God? How do I integrate my sexuality into who I am as a person?
Which is the definition right? of chastity, ding, ding, ding.
Exactly, exactly.
Not repression, so, it's integration.
Yeah, so I guess my parting thought is a very rambling invitation to not see questions as an impediment to your journey in faith, to see them as the path to yes. your progress in holiness. And what I hope is that this book will be a way that women who are searching for a path directly through their embodied femininity will be pointed to, hopefully holiness. That's my desire, right? That by understanding who we are as women, we can better understand who God made us to be as daughters, and we can better understand how we are supposed to be his image in the world.
Beautiful. I love it. Just to like dot an I across a T on there, the name of Israel means to wrestle with God. Mm-hmm. So everything you're talking about, the questions, it's literally, we can't like, think about a child. How do they learn? They ask questions. Everybody mm-hmm. listening who has little kids who are in the why phase, you want to bang their heads against the wall because they're so done with the mm-hmm. why questions. That's how they learn. And that's how you learn. Mm-hmm. And God said, be childlike. Mm-hmm. So pepper him. He's a perfect father. He can handle it. He doesn't die like Yoda did. That's right. We all know that meme. Anyway.
Yeah, that's right. I'll have one parting thing. So I've been told that I need to flaunt my credentials more by some people. And so I'm going to do it by way of a story. So I did go to Harvard Divinity School, and that's a special place to go for your master's degree. And I had one professor who I really did respect and adore, but he did not understand the scholastics at all. He thought Thomas Aquinas was like the worst thing that ever happened to theology. And I, one time in discussion, I actually challenged him on that. And I was like, do you honestly think that asking questions, right, is the worst thing that happens to theology? I was like, I told him, I said, I see the whole scholastic enterprise. Now, this is me as a lay Dominican, right? Like defending Thomas Aquinas to this Harvard professor. I was like, the whole scholastic enterprise is just a series of children asking why, yeah. right? And because that is what heaven is. That's what I truly believe. That is what heaven is just yeah. all of us there for eternity, just saying, and why? And why? And why? And drawing deeper and deeper into love and knowledge of God. So that's like a whole other thing. But that's my hope, that this is like one little like side flourish on
I love that.
On our wonderful tradition of asking why. Yeah.
I learned something new about you. I did not know that you went to Harvard Divinity School. This is like, ooh, okay. And that is probably the best description of heaven I have ever heard. Like, that makes me want to go to heaven, to just sit there and ask God a bunch of why questions. Because I always thought it was just like, you just sit there and you behold the beatific vision and you're just like struck dumb for eternity. And I'm like, I'm sure it's going to be great, but this is way better.
Further up and further in. For eternity.
And on that yeah. delightful note, I will leave you. Christina, thank you so much for coming on and talking about your book. The title again, Cycle Charting for Single Women, The Catholic Woman's Guide to Charting Your Menstrual Cycle for Health and Wholeness. And it is available now, correct?
It is, yes.
Okay, perfect. I will make sure to mention that in the intro as well. So thank you so much, Christina.
Thank you, Emily, for having me and for everything that you do here. It's so important.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. I hope it brightened your day and that you laughed as much as you learned. If you're enjoying the show and want more people to learn about what I share here, please leave a review and even share with a friend. I hope you'll join me again soon. Until then.